Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Yasho Industries Limited Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call. We have with us on the call Mr. Parag Zaveri, MD and CEO, and Mr. Yashish Zaveri, Whole-time Director and CFO. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Parag Zaveri from Yasho Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. On behalf of Yasho Industries Limited, I extend a warm welcome to everyone for joining us on our call today. On this call, we are joined by Mr. Yashish Zaveri, Whole-time Director and CFO, Mr. Mitesh Chheda, Account Manager, and our SGA, Investor Relations Advisors. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financials result and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on stock exchange and on our company website. Since some of you may be hearing us for the first time today, let me give you a quick snapshot of our company, where Mr. Yashish will walk you through the financial performance. Yasho Industries is a Mumbai-based specialty chemical manufacturer, which was incorporated in 1985. We manufacture specialty chemicals in five business verticals: food antioxidants, aroma chemicals, rubber accelerators, lubricant additives, and specialty chemicals. We have around 148 products across these five business verticals. We are well qualified with respect to certification, experience, technical expertise, and capabilities. We have emerged as a long-term sustainable partner for many MNCs across 50 countries, primarily into U.S., Europe, and South America, Asia, and Australia. Of our total revenue, export revenue contributes around 64%, whereas the balance is from the domestic market. In terms of operational performance, we are pleased to report our highest ever quarterly and yearly performance with a revenue of 186 crores and 624 crores respectively. This strong performance was primarily backed by a better product mix, better realization, and capacity expansion after debottlenecking. Demand for all major chemicals have been robust growth in FY 2022 as compared to FY 2021, despite all ongoing challenges in the country and the global market. This year, we continue to gain in value-added chemicals, specifically rubber chemicals, lubricant additives, and specialty chemicals, which has contributed meaningfully to our profitability. Specific to this quarter, we have witnessed unprecedented pressure on the margins due to volatile pricing of raw materials, increasing energy and freight cost. Although the demand for these chemicals is increasing on a global scale, and we anticipate that certain segment will perform well and drive future growth and profitability. In terms of manufacturing capacities, we have consistently invested in manufacturing facility over the last few years. We continue to invest in expanding capacities and accelerating the production of such a chemical to meet rising demand. At present, we have a three multipurpose manufacturing unit in Vapi, Gujarat, with a combined capacity of 11,000 metric tons per annum. We are operating our facility at optimum level and have some limitations to serve incremental demand. Therefore, to meet growing demand, we have acquired a 42-acre land at Pakhajan village at Dahej in Gujarat for a greenfield expansion. We will expand the production capacity in phases at this location. We propose to add around 11,500 metric ton per annum in phase 1, which will use around 50-55% of the land. We will manufacture lubricant, additives and rubber chemicals in phase 1. Forecasted revenue from phase 1 will be around 500 to 550 crores in and normal circumstances, and expected to commercialize in 24 months after receiving all necessary approvals. Overall, capex for phase 1 expansion will be approximately 350 crores, which include land and other necessary investment which are required to set up in the greenfield project. This capital expenditure will be funded through a combination of rupees 240 crore from bank loan and around rupees 110 via internal accruals and equity which was already raised. The Indian specialty chemical companies are poised to grow significantly in mid to long term as global manufacturers are looking for an alternate and sustainable supplier. This has led to a sustainable demand for specialty chemical which we manufacture. This year, we have opened an office in Netherlands to increase our presence in the European market. We believe there is a huge opportunity to penetrate and grow in that market. Post-expansion, we'll be in a strong position to capitalize on incremental growth as an established global player. The board of directors has recommended the dividend of rupees 50 per share of face value of rupees 10 each for FY22. Now I hand over the call to Mr. Yash Jhaveri for giving you a glimpse of financial performance. Yash.
Thank you, Mr. Parag. Good afternoon, everyone. Q4 FY2022 has been a strong quarter for us, and as all of our key products witness robust demand. Now let me just run to you through the quarterly performances. The total revenue for Q4 FY22 stood at 186 crores, a growth of 69% on QOQ basis. Total sales volume for Q4 stood at 3,002 metric tons, a growth of 29% on QOQ basis. This was primarily high due to strong demand for value-added products and higher capacity compared to last year. EBITDA for the company stood at 28 crores in Q4 FY22 with a margin of 15%. Net profit for the quarter stood at around 13.5 crores, a growth of 48% on a QOQ basis. Now, let me go through the yearly performance. Total revenue for FY22 stood at 624 crores, a growth of 69% on year-on-year basis. Total sales volume for the FY22 stood at 11,054 metric tons as compared to 7,712 metric tons of FY21. Export market contributed around 64%, whereas domestic part market contributed the remaining 36%. On FY22, revenue contributions from respective businesses verticals are as follows. Aroma chemicals contributed around 83 crores in FY22, representing 14% of total revenue. While food antioxidants contributed around 79 crores, representing 13% of total revenue. Rubber core chemicals contributed 211 crores, representing 35% of total revenue. Lubricants additives contributed rupees 84 crores, representing 14% of total revenue. And specialty chemicals contributed around rupees 152 crores, representing 25% of total revenue. EBITDA for the company stood at around 104 crores for FY22, a growth of 76% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA margin for FY22 grew by 100 BPS at 16.6% as compared to 15.6% margin of FY21. Profit after tax stood at 53 crores for FY22, a growth of 145% on year-on-year basis. With this, I conclude the presentation and open the floor for further discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Aman Vij from Ashutosh Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, good afternoon.
So my first question is, if you can talk about the what were the volumes we did in rubber chemicals and lubricants respectively, and what was...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Vij. Sir, can you speak a bit louder? We are not able to hear you.
Sure. So my first question is, if we can talk about the volumes we did in rubber chemicals and what were the volumes we did in lubricants, as well as what was the growth in volumes for FY22.
See, I am not in position to give you the volume split of each segment, but we had a volume growth of 7,700 metric ton from there to 11,000 metric ton in a current year. So there is a growth of about a 40% odd volume growth in a year FY22.
Okay. If you can talk about, sir, what is happening in the industry? Why is the rubber chemical industry and lubricant additives industry growing so strongly, as well as if any big players have moved out of the industry that is helping the industry?
Well, number one, growth has come due to our strong customer base in India and also globally, which we have developed in the last 4-5 years. In last 4 years, we have done a CapEx, which has allowed us to produce more and in turn to sell more quantity. And number three, we have a consistent quality and also the service thing to the customer. So the customer with whom we are working before 4 years, they were buying only a few percentage of their total demand and started buying from us reasonable quantity. And going forward, we are hoping that they can buy more from us once we have our new facility comes up. So the relationship which has built over time, which is helping us to grow, number one, the quality. And least but last, we have invested heavily into the reach registration, which is also helping us to grow the market in Europe and also outside Europe, because the people who re-export their finished product to the Europe, they need to use a reach registered product. And that is also helping us to grow the market outside Europe with the help of a reach registration. So these are the factors which are helping us. And no doubt the growth in North America, particularly into the US market, is happening due to the anti-dumping duty what they have on a Chinese product vis-a-vis India product. So that is also helping us to grow the market.
And if you can talk about what is this difference now between India and Chinese import in USA?
Yeah, I think they have a 25% anti-dumping duty on a Chinese product.
And on India, it's zero, sir, or there is...
On India, it's a 6.5. So 6.5 for everybody common, plus 25% additional duty.
Sure, sir. And if you can talk about the market, who are the big players, what is our market share as of now, and what we are aiming to become after the expansion?
If you talk about the rubber and lube, the market is a huge couple of billion dollars, and we are in a fraction of that. Okay, so there is an ample opportunity for Yasho to grow in this segment. Our immediate competitors in the European world are producing a couple of thousand metric tons, and we are in a few hundred metric tons. So the gap is quite big and wide between us and them. Also, the market is growing rapidly in this segment because of the change in the standards implemented within Europe, within USA, also in India, we are talking about Bara 6 for the lubricant. So those are the factors that are helping us to grow. Those are the reasons why the people, consumers should use a more specialty product in their finished goods to meet the standards which is helping, and we are expecting to have a similar run for our next couple of years on this segment.
And so our what is our market share among the Indian companies? Are we among the top 3 players or top 5 players?
I would not like to get into the Indian players, because if you look at the rubber chemicals, our nearest and the closest competitor is the Nosil. Out of our about 50 odd product with Nosil, we compete with the 5 or 6 product. So how can we compare, and the Nosil produce what, 70,000 metric ton of plus odd, while Yasho don't even produce a 5,000 metric ton odd for rubber chemicals. So there is no comparison between two. We cannot match that, you know, the market share, because we are more into the niche specialty segment of the special segment into the rubber chemicals. We are not into the commodity segment. We don't produce that, those chemicals which are used in the bulk and produced in the bulk, not only in India but globally.
And sir, Apcotex Industries also our competitor?
No.
Okay.
They are making a polymer. We are not in a polymer. They are for our certain product, they are our customer.
Okay, okay. So main competitor is NOCL, and you are saying they do lot of commodity also, while we focus mostly on specialty part.
Yes.
Sure, sir. My next question is, if you can talk about the top 5 products contribution to our sales in lubricant and rubber chemicals. Is there a concentration?
I will not like to name my product with the obvious reason. Okay, I'm sure you'll appreciate that. But yes, our major contribution is nowadays coming from a couple of products from rubber, couple of products from lubricant, and definitely some specialty dense chemical. From these three segments, our major products are coming, which is contributing to the top line and also to the bottom line.
Sir, I am not asking for names. I am saying, so we do 22 products in, say, rubber chemicals, which you have mentioned. So without name, how much does top 5 contribute?
Maybe about 10%.
Only 10% then?
10% of the product will contribute the major growth. But those are an allied product to fill the basket.
Okay. So 10% of the products contribute to majority of our growth. This is what you are saying.
Indian rubber chemical, I'm talking about a specific word, Indian rubber chemical, about 10% of the product can give us a revenue.
And same is for lubricant chemicals also, sir?
Yeah, lubricant, same, specialty, almost all product gives a top growth.
Okay. And sir, any reason this industry is growing, lubricant industry, because globally industry is not growing that much, while our business is doing quite well. So what is happening?
I did say that there is a change in norms, like Bharat 6 has kicked in for lubricant industry. There is a Euro 6, so there is a certain norms have been set up by the government of India, also by the European body, and globally the norms are changing for your emission. And to reduce emission, one need to use the more specialty chemicals. And that is the change in norms are, you don't see the growth in the overall industry per se, but their consumption patterns are changing internally, which we don't see that from an outsider's.
Okay, so new products will have more chemicals, something of that sort, which is helping us.
Yes, our you know, a lot of our additives are used into this kind of a new regulatory requirement, which is also helping us to grow the market. Also, the lot of additives which we are getting approvals every now and then are also produced by one or two people globally. So there is a they are always looking for an alternate source of supply.
Sure, sir. Final question, sir, from my side. If you can talk about, without any names of the products, how many of our products contribute, say, 25 crore plus to our to understand, can these products become much bigger, or will we need to keep adding more products?
No, I think we have enough scope to grow our existing product sales. What we are putting up a new capacity is only for scaling up the capacity. So we are not looking at any particular, but the rubber and lubricant segment, we are adding capacity and there is no new product plan. All existing product only we are increasing the capacity. So we think that strongly believe that our existing product has got an ample opportunity to grow.
Sure, sir. And have you done that calculation like 10 products contribute 25 crore per product? Something of
honestly,
that.
We are not done that calculation.
See, you know that our capacities are more for fungible. And that is what one of the key advantages of Yashow that we have done it in over the last 1 year. We moved away from, very smartly, we could produce high value, high margin product month on month, quarter on quarter. So the product mix is helping us. And going forward also, we will do the this kind of mix which will help us to grow further, even with the same capacity.
Sure, sir. Thank you for answering the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Anupam A. from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon and congratulations on the set numbers. So my first question is, in addition to the first participant, just trying to understand, in the lube and rubber chemical, if there is any global capacity addition by large players, let's say, that might put pressure on our average realization or margins, or might cause some sort of bottleneck for us to expand our volumes there?
We haven't seen any our global players are putting up an additional capacity on this segment, but we will do the lubricant segments.
Okay. So secondly, what I understand was from the last interaction, we are able to pass on the raw material price inflation within the same quarter. There's not much delay in passing on the price difference. What has led to this contraction in gross margin this quarter, which can throw some light there?
Anupam, see, we can pass on our rising cost after the end of the quarter, but something happened during the quarter, we cannot pass it on. So that is affecting us wherever we have quarterly pricing. Secondly, the 6 month pricing, wherever we have, we cannot do much there. So then one has to honor that, those contracts. So, and you know, the lot of ups and downs came during the quarter, which is not possible to pass on because when we get an export order, generally lead times are 60 days. Once you receive and confirm the order, you can't change the pricing irrespective of what happened at your end. So, yes, we do pass on the pricing, but the to a certain limit, not beyond that. Like today, for reference, the China pricing for certain commodity product, we have seen the prices are dropping, but which is not reality. But they are dumping the product. And to remain in the market, you have to hold the price. You cannot increase the price.
Understood. So typically, our price contracts are reviewed every 3 months?
Yeah, three months. Some of them are for, very few are 6 months, but majority of them are 3 months, quarterly pricing.
Understood. Sir, a question on your other expense line item. We've seen a sharp jump from 17 crore last year to 33 crore this quarter. I know energy and freight is a part of it. Any other expense line item that you see in highlight which is hurting this margin, sir?
I think it was mainly a raw material side, which is one. And second one was a fuel cost, which has increased sharply over last quarter. Very rapidly, the fuel prices increased. That is the gas what we consume for our heating purpose at the plant. That was a major cost, besides the logistic.
Understood. So lastly, from my end, if you can give us a strategic view on, I understand we have 40 products registered under the REACH certification. What is our strategy going forward 2-3 years down the line with respect to new CAPEX that comes on stream? How many products are we intending to register under these certifications?
Well, this is difficult to answer, but as the demand grew in that part of the world, we will definitely like to register. But at least in a year, we like to add 2 to 3 new products for the Europe market, and where we might need to invest additional money for the registration. Not only the new products, sometimes we have to increase the tonnage band as well. If you are aware about the risk certification, it is linked with the tonnage band. So how much you sell in that part of the world. If your sales increase it, you need to increase the tonnage band with that.
Understood. So lastly, any information on the EC?
Sorry?
The environmental. Any information from the authorities with respect to environmental clearance?
We are waiting for, you are talking about for the new project, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, we have not got any intimation from them and we are eagerly waiting.
Okay, sir. I'll get back in the queue and thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogansh Jaswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Most of the questions have been answered. Just two more questions from my end. So in terms of customer concentration, can you throw some more light on as if how much would our top 5 or top 10 customers would be contributing?
I think we don't have any customer which is holding more than 5% of the total sales.
Okay, and this is across your all 4 divisions or in those?
Also, we have an active customer base globally, about 400 customers globally, and in India we have more than 2,000 active customers. And so in the roughly 2,500 to 3,000 customers, nobody is contributing more than 5% of revenue.
Okay. So if we have to go by that, then in terms of your quantity that you're selling, 11,000 tons and 400 or 2,000 kind of customers, so then the average quantity that we are shipping to clients is also very, very small. So is it safe to assume that the contribution of these products in their end product is very small?
One is that, and second thing, they are still testing us, ramping up supply from our side slowly. Second thing, we are not able to fulfill their needs because of the lack of capacity. So a lot of new customers which has come on the board, we are not able to fulfill their needs. We don't have enough capacity here. So what we are doing is currently that who are the old one with whom we have our relationship over the years, we are holding their hands tightly, and the new guys, we are telling that okay, this is only what we can supply, and once we will be ready with the additional capacity, we'll be able to supply more quantity.
Fair enough, sir. And sir, like we have touched 11,000 tons of production this year, so we are almost at 100% utilization. And now with this greenfield, which is again 2 years down the line, so is there any scope to debottleneck and grow our volume in these 2 years that are under unit 3, the 3 units that we have, or we are maxed out on all these?
I don't think we have any room there. Let me rather than give any hope. But with the product mix, with the better R&D, we are hope to achieve, the better, revenue for 23.
So, again, if I have to ask you more specifically, so then for these coming 2 years, what kind of growth are we thinking to have in our business through these product mix changes? Because I think a lot of the capacity is fungible. So, any number that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, actually I can say that we should grow at between 10 to 15% in for 23.
Okay.
That's a real problem there.
Sure. I'll get back to you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and 1. The next question is on the line of Nikhil from Perpetual Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. All my questions have been answered. I just have one general question is, what happens to lubricant chemicals with increasing adoption of EV?
Good one. Okay, when you talk about the lubricant, automobile that is an engine oil is a major component, almost about 60%, but 40% come from the non-automotive segment. That is what we call as an industrial oil. That is going wrong, going strong. Number two, in an engine side also, we have to split this into the commercial vehicles, personal vehicles like four wheelers what we drive. And I don't know how much you people are gung-ho, but what will be the global demand in next 10 years for the EV? 10% of the total sales? 15%? So still there will be a strong demand for a lubricant for an engine side. There will be a growth happening into the the non-automotive segment also. When you talk about the EV, only you need to omit the two oils, that is an engine oil and a gear oil. Rest of the, like brake oil, you need a suspension oil or the greases, everything going to remain intact there. You are not going away from that. So we don't see that EV is going to have a major impact on the consumption of the lubricants, per se.
Got it. So currently, can we assume majority, what is the mix within lubricant chemicals for us in terms of auto versus non-auto?
I think we are more, almost about 80% into non-auto and 20% only into the auto segment.
Okay. Got it. So we are fairly insulated in any way if the acceleration for EV adoption increases significantly.
Yes, and not only that, for you to understand that 60% also consume about, that aviation fuel and aviation lubricant. So aviation is not going to change.
Yeah. Okay. No problem.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amit Shah from A Securities. Please go ahead. Amit, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Sir, I wanted to understand, has the current Russia-Ukraine war affected the overall supply chain and increase in raw material cost? And are we able to pass on this increase in cost to clients?
First question, yes, Russia-Ukraine war has impacted the cost of the raw material volatility. And that has kicked in. Mainly the fuel cost has dramatically increased because of that segment. That the Ukraine is the biggest producer of the fertilizers and ammonia, which has also increased the cost. So the ammonia cost has increased in India, and that impacted all the amines which used for the rubber chemical. Second question of passing the cost. No, we could not pass the cost which has come kicked in between the quarter. We could not pass on that the cost to the customer. That can only happen at the end of the quarter or the next contract when you are getting into it. So that was the reason why we took a hit on our Q4 numbers. Also, the many times, the COVID situation in China and the part of the world are causing a logistic delay. For that, we need to stock or overstock the material or buy the product sometime at a high price. So, a couple of reasons are having a factoring on our profitability. And we are trying to work to that overcome that in the current quarter and coming quarters.
Understood, sir. Sir, on working capital cycles, what are the measures that we have taken to reduce it? And can you highlight three aspects, debtors, creditors and inventory cycle for us?
I think inventory we are not able to do much because as you know that we consume almost about 70-75% of raw materials imported, 70% materials are imported. We are holding 2 months inventory there, our debtors are about 60 days on average, purely because customers, we have a variety of customers buying on DPL side, DS60, and DS60 gives by DA 90 days, by the time 90 days. But still we could bring down that our total working cycle from about 125 days plus to the, below 100 days. So I think my team has done a remarkable job there. ensuring that the collection comes on time, despite having all the problems in logistics from an overseas customers. I don't have anything more on that.
Thank you, sir. That was helpful, sir. And lastly, can you throw some light at the new capacity expansion at Gujarat? I mean, which are the top 3-4 products which we are planning, and what would be the opportunity for us in the global market?
See, right now we have a couple of products from a rubber portfolio and lubricant portfolio, both the portfolio we are coming up there. In that phase one plan, global demand is huge. We are today we are not able to cater that because our capacity is very small, miniculous. What we say. Even from today's sales of 1,700 metric tons of that, those products are only half of it. We are increasing our capacity modest level. Our very close competitors globally have a capacity of 30,000-40,000 metric tons. So we are nowhere close to them. We have ample opportunity, but we want to go step by step. We don't increase the capacity from, say, 1,000 metric ton to the 25,000 metric ton in one go. Here, again, we are going for a fungible capacity. So we can, in case we need to rework product mix, we can rework product mix very well.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Venkatesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Zaveri, you mentioned that we can do 10 to 15% kind of top line growth in the current year. On a related note, what is your outlook for EBITDA margins in the current year? Given the increased price of raw materials, freight costs, is it still possible to increase or maintain your EBITDA margins in the current year, or there is a possibility of a contraction? And on a related note, I think in one of your previous conference calls, you mentioned how in certain areas in Europe, you are trying to directly sell to the customer and avoiding selling to the distributor. So which would actually be helpful in improving our margins. Is that thesis still intact, or that thesis has changed given the confusion which is happening in Europe because of the war?
Okay, let me answer the second question first. Our strategy to reach out to the direct user in Europe is very much on the table. We have set up a company, and the commercial sales has already begun last quarter. That is somewhere in February 22. And we are expecting to on that segment. On that, we have a good feedback from our probable customers that we are going to have a stock in Europe. So absolutely, there is no change in policy. Number two on your EBITDA. Honestly, it is very difficult to predict what is the EBITDA going to be. At least one or two quarter or entire 23 projects. We will do our best to maintain this EBITDA or to improvise from here a little bit. We are putting our the best of the efforts not to shrink any further or the slippage on an hour EBITDA.
Okay. Okay. One last question from me. See, today you are at a situation where you are almost running at full capacity utilization. And by selling more value-added products, hopefully you will grow revenues in the current year. But now, once again, when I'm looking at your capacity expansion, you are talking about doing a phase one increase. So why not take a risk and actually go full hog and do plan out the phase one and phase two in one go, so that you once again don't hit a capacity constraint in, say, 3 years' time or 3.5 years' time? Why not take an environmental clearance for both your phase one and phase two in this 42 acres of land in one go, so that maybe 1 year, 1.5 years down the line, you could possibly go for that if you see the demand? Why not take the entire clearance in one go? or is it because you want to keep it open? What kind of chemicals you want to do in the phase two, you're not sure at this point in time. So can some thought process about the expansion?
Well, dear, you know that the last 25 years, the growth of company, we traveled, we have done a capex of about 125 CR. Now we are taking a quantum leap of doing about 350 CR. So it's a quantum jump for the company. The company needs to do cautiously rather than recklessly. My plan this as an entire project of whatever it is, you can talk phase one, phase two, phase three. It's not a right advice by anyone. Because we are jumping from what we did in last 27, 28 years, we are going to do it in next 2 years. Much more, as long as capex is done. We want to be a little bit wise here. We don't want to be a highly over-optimistic. And rather than I want to become take a little bit of realistic and pessimistic, that in case some bump comes, uncertainty comes, we are been well protected, well insulated, and we are not been over-leveraged here. So that's the thought process. We have a product in mind. We know the capacity we need to go tomorrow. But that's a said and done. One cannot invest or go gung-ho on one big way.
Okay. Thanks for those views and all the very best for the future.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Anubhav from MC Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of specific questions. And in fact, first clarification I need regarding volume growth. You mentioned 40% volume growth. This is specific to rubber chemicals, right? So for the specific condition?
I said the overall growth of the company was 40% in volume growth.
Okay. And for the rubber chemicals, could you mention the growth and what is the volume sold in last quarter?
I think I said that I am not willing to give you the the range-wise mix of the volume that we don't want to disclose here.
Okay.
I'm not able to give you that answer. Sorry for that.
Okay. No issue, sir. And secondly, if I got it right, as far as nozzle is concerned, only 5 to 7 products are common, and this is out of the 87 products which we have in our bouquet, right?
Absolutely. We see. Yes. That's a difference. Big difference.
Okay. And so most of our rubber chemical sales are for domestic demand, or we have some export composition factor in the sales for rubber chemicals.
We have reasonable export sales.
Okay, how much would be that?
More than 50%.
More than 40%.
50.
And 20%, okay.
50.
Okay, 50. Okay, got it. It's clear. And in terms of end market demand, we could, share your views. Okay, how is it auto versus non-auto as for our chemicals is concerned?
I think we have about 50 to 55% goes to the auto and rest will be non-auto. Exactly, I can't give this answer because customer don't give you that breakup when they buy the product.
Yeah, sir. I mean, an approximate number would be helpful in understanding the. Within auto, how would you divide between tires versus the other parts of auto?
50-50.
Okay. And sir, one last very specific question regarding new chemicals. Which would be our major competitor per se, and what would be our market share in this segment?
Our market share is less than 1%, mini plus. Our immediate competitors will be BASF, Germany. Lanxess, Germany. So those are the ones. Vanderbilt in USA.
Okay. And any Indian competitor in this space?
Sunsilk Chemicals.
Okay. Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam A. from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you for the follow-up. So I just want to understand specifically for the quarter, our mix in the rubber, lube and specialty chemical has improved to 75,
sorry,
not to 75%.
Sir, we are not able to hear you clearly.
Can you go slowly, Anupam? A little slow.
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm just talking specifically for the quarter. Given our mix of rubber, lube and specialty chemical has improved to north of 75%. Our realization for the quarter on per kg basis has gone up to 610 rupees versus what we have done, let's say, in the past at around 500-550 rupees a kg. Is this primarily led by price increase of raw materials that we have passed on? Because on EBITDA per kg number has largely remained stable. And secondly, incrementally, when we increase this mix of specialty chemical and rubber, what will be our EBITDA per ton number if you can give some color there?
Okay. What I understood, number one question you want to know that the the revenue split between the rubber, specialty and lube vis-a-vis the food and aroma, right?
No, sir. I'm just trying to understand the realization which has improved to 600 rupees a kg. Earlier we used to do around 500 to 550 rupees a kg.
Two things. Number one, there is a price change. You can see the high relation mainly due to the change in the mix of the product. Okay, that has increased and little bit definitely influenced by the kind of inflation what we have seen. What has been the raw material price, so that has been partially passed on, which is also seen there.
Okay, and secondly, sir, on EBITDA per ton, we've largely remained stable at around 84,000 rupees a metric ton. Any color there you would like to give us when volume growth comes inside, for the new KPI?
See, the problem happened here again. We could not increase the EBITDA purely because of the RM cost and the fuel cost, which has increased substantially. So that has impacted the margins. So the EBITDA could not be improvised further.
So should we walk around this 85,000 rupees to 90,000 rupees number?
I will not like to give a full year guidance on that. As a normal circumstances, if it is a normal situation like 2020, then my guidance will be in the range of about 75 to 80,000 metric ton. Because this is not the right time to talk about it. This is a price band will continue. If the things comes in a proper place, the war situation, everything improvise, sentiment improvise, price will come down. And so the selling price will come down. So it will go hand in hand, raw material and finished price.
Got it. So lastly, just a clarification, your 10 to 15% FY23 growth is overall sales or just the volume growth?
No, we are talking about an overall sales, not volume. Volume will be somewhere in the range of 11,000 off.
Okay, got it. Thank you and wishing you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now have the conference over to Mr. Parag Zaveri for his closing comments.
Thank you, friends, to joining. Due to wide range of end applications, niche specialized chemicals are gaining momentum. Our product mix is shifting primarily towards value-added products in the segment like lubricant, rubber and specialty. We are anticipating a sustained demand for these chemicals in coming years and are investing in new infrastructure to capitalize on the opportunities that are emerging for a qualified player like us. With this, I'd like to conclude the call. Thank you once again for joining us on the call. If you have any further queries, please contact SGA, our investor relationship advisor. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Yasho Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.